You didn't get a chance to see that video.
That's just ridiculous.
We'll have to catch that one on replay.
Yeah.
We're back here at live at the Channel 9 stage, Channel 9 Live here at TechEd North America. I'm Rick Claus, Rickster CDN, sitting here with someone that has taken me at least 2.5 to 3 months to secure a meeting of any kind.
That's right.
You only conversed via very short chat windows.
That's right.
And that's it.
That's all you've earned.
That's all I've earned.
We'll see what happens today.
So based on how this interview
goes,
we get to actually potentially have coffee sometime.
That's right. Maybe.
This is Corey Sanders.
Are you asking me out?
No. It's not that kind of relationship.
I mean, it's nice. I'm married, though, gentlemen.
Hey, we're all there, man.
Okay.
Corey Sanders.
Hi.
PM extraordinaire, principal PM, senior PM.
Yeah,
tell me about yourself.
Sure, I will. I would love to. I'm a group program manager in the Azure team. I'm in charge of the infrastructure as a service product, and I'm also in charge of the cloud services product. And my team does the API, so the REST API and PowerShell on top of that.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
We're here to basically kind of cover off some of the announcements. Now, I heard that you've got some nice tidbits that you're going to be able to share, but then you're also going to be holding some of them back for your session a little bit later on. So I understand. You get to choose what some of them are. But
yeah.
There's a couple that were mentioned during the keynote that I want to call out and just basically talk a little
bit. Yeah, I'd love to. Absolutely.
But, starting off, if someone who has been under a rock for the last 8 years and has not even realized that Azure is able to do infrastructure as a service amongst many other things, give us the quick little synopsis of what is infrastructure as a service, IT pros?
Yeah.
Should they be excited? Should they be ignoring it? What's going on?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to. So, I mean, the infrastructure as a service product that we offer in Azure is very focused on agility and being able to sort of get going quickly, right?
Okay.
So the cool thing about what we offer is both a Windows and Linux platform on top of infrastructure service. It effectively is being able to just rent servers and sort of use and scale at them as much as you want. But the cool thing that we've offered and continue to talk quite a bit about is improved management on top of those servers as well.
Okay.
And so at Build, we announced a bunch of support with Chef and Puppet.
Yes.
We'll be announcing, actually today, we have a few more things to announce. PowerShell direct integration into those virtual machines, and you can actually launch PowerShell scripts straight from the portal.
Oh, very nice.
And then during the keynote today, we announced a few antivirus directly being integrated into those virtual machines as well.
Believe it or not, I actually noticed that appear like last night. I was working on my demos. Don't tell them the session track owner this one here. I was working on my demos in Azure, and
last night
there were some things that popped up.
Huh.
It was very late, or very early in the morning.
That's right. That's about when we flipped over.
I'm curious. Was that like a big blocker that was preventing people from using some of the virtual machines?
I think it's one item in a list of things where, just around comfort, right? I think when you look at sort of the infrastructure as a service and just the public cloud in general, I think there's a general sense of, you know, the comfort level and being happy to use it and excited to use it. And obviously the agility is there and people see the agility and they're like, great, I can get going and go quickly and so on. But there's always that additional sort of concern. And, you know, with this built-in antivirus, both from Microsoft and from some really trusted partners as well, like Trend Micro and Symantec, we sort of allow customers to do what they do on premises, but with that sort of fast and quick pace in the cloud.
Do you find that when you're out talking with customers and talking with partners and is talking about infrastructure as a service and Azure services in general with the public, do you find that people still think that we have very much a Microsoft bias only?
You know, candidly, people do still have that feeling.
Yeah.
I love working in the Azure team because we sort of get to be the bad boys of the company. In that, you know, we end up doing a lot of partnerships. Outside. In addition to announcing the Microsoft solution, like I said, we also partnered with Trend Micro and Symantec.
Yeah.
We launched Puppet and Chef actually before we had PowerShell.
Yes.
And of course, the Linux support. And we will be announcing today, actually, SUSE phone support on Linux as well. Yeah. So, we're very excited and aggressive about making sure that we're really doing what customers want and what customers need.
That's definitely some proof to the pudding as far as agility is concerned.
Yep.
For being able to flip like that and go down the direction that we need to go based on customers' feedback.
That's right.
That's awesome.
That's right.
Now, how about sharing some of these announcements? The one that caught my ear the most, and I don't know if we want to jump directly to this one or not, but you know, my background typically is inside the traditional server room, working with infrastructure, working with on-premises type stuff.
Got it.
Private cloud deployments, virtualization.
That's where the hat
sands.
Got the hat from
you
there.
You got it there.
Got
it. Keeps my head warm in the
inside
race floors.
Inside
right?
the race floors, exactly.
What do we have going on as far as Hyper-V Recovery Manager?
Yeah.
We had it before, which was basically the ability to control and coordinate disaster recovery with Hyper-V Recovery between two different data centers that you happen to have.
That's right.
And then we announced today that it's now available with not
straight
just
to
our
Azure.
Own stuff,
yep.
but straight up into
Boom.
The cloud.
Boom, straight to Azure.
Wow, man. Now,
Yeah.
That's
so
it.
Yeah, no, it's
explain
actually
to me how this works.
It's actually really exciting. You know, we worked pretty closely with the Hyper-V recovery team to be able to work through the solution that they've offered. So they have a great solution on premises today, right? Which you've got basically two data centers on premises, and you use Azure as a witness, effectively.
Witness and coordinator.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So which is great and really powerful. And a lot of people love it. But what we announced today, and actually with this announcement, we'll be changing the name to Site Recovery.
Okay.
And so what that now allows you to do is just take an on-premise solution and go straight into the cloud, into the Azure virtual machines.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we made the announcements today.
Yes.
Is it in preview release now? Is it
no,
in
not
GA
yet.
Later?
It's coming. It's eminently coming. Okay. It's eminently coming.
One
yes.
One of those
that's
agility.
Right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
I'm going to sign on at 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's
and all
right.
of a sudden, it's going
to
be
the
available.
Demos work. So that's all you need to
that's
know, right?
Part.
It's not slideware.
Okay.
Demos are rocking, yeah. So, and it's I think the coolest thing about it is that now suddenly you don't need, and Brad talked about this a little bit, you don't need two big sites now to be able to get that DR story, and it's so easy to use and test. You really can just put anything, actually, as a DR story now, and it's much easier and simpler.
So, actually, because, well, I was about to say, how would they end up charging for this, but obviously it's in pre-release, so it's
we haven't, yeah, we haven't announced that yet. That's right. Nice try.
I was trying to pull it out. It
yeah,
work.
No,
it
nice
work.
Try. No, no.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Moving on. Next time.
Yeah, you'll see more about the pricing later on.
Oh, yeah, no,
yeah,
it's very, absolutely. Very cool technology.
Yeah.
I love it now, so I can't wait to see how it's been improved.
Yep.
What would you say, you know, out of stuff that you are going to be able to share during your session, and also some of the stuff that announcements there, that was the big one for me. What was the big one for you? Because you work on the team, you've seen it, the stuff you're allowed to tell us.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I think that there's probably two, and this is getting in a little bit in the guts, so hopefully that's okay. There's probably
like
two
that
I think that are the coolest. One is actually pretty simple. It is just we have high-performance or high-compute-sized VMs coming out, and they're eloquently named A8 and A9.
I would say, those ones were previously only available if you're doing like a platform as a service.
That's right,
exactly.
Exactly. So now they are available for infrastructure as a service and on Windows.
Are they like $9,000 an hour?
I don't actually have the pricing off the top of my head, but
you're not a sales guy.
Yeah,
it's not that
I'm
much.
I'm pretty sure it's less than that.
Yes.
It's actually fantastic. So you can go up to 112 gig memory on the 8. Yeah, it's really pretty cool. And then what's also great is that it's got a RDMA-based NIC, so you can actually get up to 40 gigabit per second between VMs.
Get out of town.
I know.
Serious?
Your brain's just. That's right.
Seriously.
Good thing he's wearing this hat.
That's insane.
It keeps the brain inside. No, it's actually going to be.
We're talking 10 gig plus.
It's
so
that's out of this world.
Connectivity between the machines.
No, it's going to be great.
And on the VNets.
And just the technology you can use there and the types of solutions you can run there are just like, it's really cool.
That's insane.
So that's really hot. That's
big.
That's pretty hot. Yeah. The other thing that's actually pretty cool was Azure Files, which Brad mentioned a little bit this morning.
I caught a bit of that. I think Rusinovich, Mark, was talking about that on the press briefing.
Oh, in the press briefing. That's
but
right.
I missed it.
I had to
get down here.
Yeah. So the cool part about this is you have like 5, 6, 7 VMs or cloud services in Azure, and these guys can all share a read-write-share directly on Azure Storage, which is just awesome because it's duplicate copies.
It's like a whack share name,
exactly.
Server name
slash
share name.
Yeah. SMB. Wow. 2.1, man.
Is
boom. And all shared read writes. So actually some of the sessions today, our session, my session in about 30 minutes, and then there's actually a dedicated session on just this storage feature, have some really, really snazzy demos that you can do. You can do some powerful stuff with this thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it. Those are a bunch of new ones.
Yeah.
What about augmentation of existing?
Yeah,
You were talking before you came on air about ExpressRoute.
Yeah, definitely.
I know the concept.
Yep.
And that we had a couple of partners that are announced.
Yeah.
Has there been a lot? Is that gone to GA and is it now being readopted?
That's right, yeah. So, I mean, the ExpressRoute was announced to GA today, so that's a big change.
Yep.
And the partner list just continues to grow. We Singtel, Verizon, AT&T, BT. I mean, the partners just continues to grow. Zedera with a storage solution.
Okay.
It's really, really cool. And so this is awesome for customers who want to connect from an on-premise environment, but using whatever the provider they're already using.
Okay.
Right?
So basically, they're already paying for high-speed links between their different data centers and buildings and facilities with one of these partners.
That's right.
And now they're able to use that to be able to get into Azure,
right.
And that effectively keeps it off of the public internet?
Yeah, exactly. They're dedicated lines. So these global telcos have dedicated lines, and they are based on MPLS, and you can connect right in.
Is any cable company providing this service so I could get that for my house?
Directly to your house?
To my house? Is that possible?
Let's talk. Let's talk afterwards. There's a few deals I may be
I
able to.
I live pretty
I'm
close to the Redmond data center. Maybe I can get like an extension.
That's right.
Redmond
that's right. We haven't announced a Redmond data center, so. This just got awkward.
No. There's the miniature data center that they have.
Oh, that's there. Right.
It's like the little test one.
That's right.
Trust me. There's no announcements of data centers.
No announcements there.
Sorry about that.
That's it. Yeah. This just got weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
We already covered...
This has been fun.
We've already covered off the question that's up there on the screen.
Is there...
Hyper-V-Replica available for Microsoft Azure for disaster recovery.
Boom.
That's the Sites one that we basically already talked
about. That's
right. Already.
Yep, that's so, right. And it'll be rebranded. Site Recovery.
Site Recovery Manager.
Yep.
What's going on there.
Awesome.
The
other actually cool thing that I should mention.
Augmentation?
Yeah, augmentation.
Okay.
You wanted me to say on augmentation, right?
Totally, yeah.
It's like a new arm or something,
right?
Okay. The coolest thing, actually, one of the cool things about augmentation is virtual networks today, right?
Yep.
You can set up a virtual network in a given region, and you can put virtual machines into it and deploy and so on and so forth. The cool thing that we just announced today as well is you can now take this virtual network and deploy a virtual network in another region and connect them using the backend connectivity.
Oh.
And so some really cool solutions, actually. You can do something with like SQL Server, an always-on solution where you're replicating between regions using the DR solutions that they've got. You've now got the two regions that are going to use the Microsoft backbone to be able to transfer that that traffic across. It's so cool.
And
I'm geeky. I apologize.
No, I totally understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that was actually one of the things that a lot of people have been asking me about as far as the virtual networks between your different cloud services that you have and how they're associated with affinity groups, that sort of stuff. Other changes in there? Did they announce change to site connectivity?
They did, actually. So you can actually have now multiple sites being able to connect in. So before it used to be a single on-premise site.
One-to-one.
I keep doing this because there's so much networking.
You can't see it.
You can't see where my hands are. Let me do it up here. We used to have a site here. Now we have a site in the cloud. And now you can do actually multiple sites on-premises that can connect into that one VPN in the cloud.
Okay. I got that.
People
were seeing that as a potential single point of failure for having a hybrid
solution. That's right. They were blocked by that. That's right. Well, or if you have two on-premise data centers and you weren't yet using sort of the ExpressRoute solution, now you can connect both of them in and they can share the same Azure solution.
Got it. This is a Q&A, just in case you're wondering. So people can ask questions.
Go ahead.
There was one question that we answered beforehand. So
it can be about
on the website,
anything.
Channel9msdn.com. There is the opportunity there to be able to post your questions, and we will try to get them.
Got it.
Apparently, we're not getting any yet, according to the prompter. So,
oh, that's not a question.
No, it's good. It's
that's
good.
Right. Okay.
I'm just going to keep on talking.
Well, I think because we're answering so much.
So fast.
Thoroughly.
High bandwidth.
So thoroughly.
This is an RDMA connection.
This is a 40 gigabit right now. Right? Bam, bam. That's it. Cross region right here.
Okay.
Those are all the catchphrases there.
What else you got for me?
Let's see.
So far, I'm already bought, but what else?
You're already in the game.
Yeah. Already in the game.
Oh, gosh. What else is there? Well, I mean, there's some other additional things outside of even infrastructure as a service that we announced that are going to be pretty cool. You'll see some session on this. We've got the Azure Redis Cache where you can actually use. It's basically based on the Redis solution, but a cache based in Azure. And so you can imagine using that with an infrastructure as a service deployment and be able to sort of share those technologies together.
Okay. It's getting extremely robust. It already was.
Yes, it is.
It's just simply going.
Yeah.
Now, I always get asked the questions for do we have an unofficial cadence that we talk about for how fast new things come, or is it just like, it's every 2 weeks, every 6 weeks, every 9 weeks, or is it really a matter of when it's ready, when it's done, and then all of a sudden new stuff just magically appears?
Well, I think the each of the teams inside Azure have somewhat different cadences, and it depends on sort of the layer in the stack that they are. The deeper layers in the stack are going to ship a little bit slower, but slower is like a month versus a week, right? And it sort of goes up, and the higher in the stack, the more you ship. What we typically actually just announce things as soon as they're ready, and part of that is just because there's such a pipeline. If you hold on to things, you end up actually backing up the pipeline, as we sort of have seen a little bit today. There's so many announcements, right, all at one go, because for the last couple weeks we're like, let's announce that at Tech-It. And so here we are, and we announced everything.
With the data centers and the way that they are and these new technologies becoming available, I'm assuming they're not going to be available in all regions all at once. Or is that actually part of the release cycle?
So most of them. That's a great question. It's a great question. So most of the software comes out in all the regions.
Okay.
But it actually depends, right? So obviously ExpressRoute is more local based on the providers that we've got. The compute intensive SKUs are also more regional. So there's only a few regions that actually support that today. And that's just because they're hardware bound. So you end up having some limitations on where you can deploy those.
We actually have a question.
We do have a question. Look at this.
About multiple NICs in VMs.
Okay.
I mean, we've got this massive high bandwidth RDMA capable stuff that's going on now.
Yeah.
Any changes that we're announcing that you're thinking about, or is that even on a priority list for discussion?
Yeah, you know, today we're not yet announcing multiple NICs, but it is absolutely. I mean, we hear this from customers quite a bit. It is something that I'm sure that it's something we'd like to do.
Okay.
But yeah, we're not announcing it yet.
I'm actually curious.
Yeah.
Do you use TechEd and other facilities to be able to collect feedback?
Absolutely.
How do you know about doing that?
Yeah. So I mean, it's actually quite a blast. So today I've got my session, and then doing a couple of these really fun conversations.
but one Thursday.
That's right. Yeah. Then Thursday as well. That's right. But then actually Wednesday, Thursday, a little bit Tuesday, we're by the booth and we have a whole bunch of customer meetings.
Okay.
So we got customers who are here, folks who are in town, who are looking at things. You know, they come over and they take a look and we talk with them about some of their limitations, some of their solutions, et cetera. Yeah.
Nice.
So it's pretty fun.
I like that.
Yeah, we have a good time.
What do you recommend for IT pros that are just getting into Azure in terms of a readiness path?
Oh, interesting.
What's the gateway drug to get into infrastructure?
Absolutely. Yeah, Pierre, great question. You know, actually, there's sort of a lot of ways to go. I think, from my perspective, the easiest has been, it's actually a really great free trial that you can go sign up for.
Right.
What you can end up actually doing with this free trial, it's a good amount of money. You just go in, you sign up, and you just go. You deploy a virtual machine and play with it, right? And so the cool thing about this is you can go deploy a virtual machine, install some software on it, hook up your network, put in some ACLs if you want, reserve an IP if you want to, and you can go and play with it right there. Linux, Windows, whatever you want. We even have pre-built images for SQL, for BizTalk. So really, whatever the solution is that you want to use, you can go right in and use it. So it's amazingly simple to get a VM up and running, right? Under 10 minutes, you're up and running. Go install some stuff and go play with it.
That's a 30-day trial.
Yep.
There's a cap limit. You have to use a credit card just for purposes of identification.
That's correct.
And actually get billed.
That's right.
It's a stop and then stops.
That's right.
At time
That's right. That's trial. Right. Yep.
I got a question from one of the guys that I talk to all the time with regards to, you can make your own machines, you can spin them up, you can do this sort of stuff, but is it really as easy as I've seen some demos, to be able to take your machines from on-premises and then bring them up into Azure?
Yeah. So I think it depends is always sort of the answer when it comes
consulting
to moving.
Absolutely. Right?
Exactly. We got legal watching. So, no. You know, I think it depends. Because we just use VHDs in the cloud, right, which actually is the reason why a lot of these solutions work, like site recovery, because we just use VHDs, it's actually pretty easy to go use these solutions on top.
Yep.
Moving a VHD from on-premise into the cloud does just work, right? You can just go in and boot it. The complication becomes sometimes applications installed on it may not perfectly line up with the networking environment that you've got or the other virtual machines talking there, right? If you have six virtual machines all with the exact same name, they may get ornery. I think the thing is that you got to be a little bit sensitive to the fact that there are differences, right, between the on-prem network and the cloud network. But VHDs should just boot. And we do have a lot of extra success with that. And we even have a tool that will allow you to convert from VMDK straight into Azure VHDs.
Oh, wow.
I'll be showing this a little bit actually in my session today.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Do you remember what your session code is? I'm putting you on the spot here.
You know what? I'll pull it up. I'll pull it up before we're done. How's that? Yeah.
Pull that one up.
There's another couple announcements actually that's worth just mentioning network-wise. Should you want to just go in here?
No. Wait.
Augmenting.
We have 8 minutes left.
Can
you do it in eight?
I can do it in eight. And we got a couple questions here.
Okay.
So, Azure Remote App. Okay, we'll get to it. So the two additional ones that worth announcing, just kind of fun networking solutions. One is VIP reservation, so IP reservation.
Yep.
The public IP you can now actually reserve. So what this means
public facing.
The public facing IP you can reserve. We announced a couple months ago that you could reserve the internal IP.
Yeah, I remember that one.
But the public IP you can now reserve, right? So using PowerShell, you can go in and say, I want to keep this IP address beyond the lifecycle of this running virtual machine.
Right.
Which is actually really cool if you're doing stop, deallocate, you know, like shutting down VMs, restarting them regularly. What you can then end up doing is with that public IP, you can now ACL it maybe on premises, or maybe you want to assign it to like a DNS record.
Yep.
You now don't have to worry about that going away. Okay. Hold on to it, redeploy your virtual machine, you're good to go.
Okay.
Yep.
That one works.
Yeah.
You want to take the first question?
Let's take this other one, and then I'll come back.
Jeff was asking if System Center is required for the new VM recovery or the new site
resilience? Yes, yeah. The on-prem piece does have a System Center VMM solution built into it. Yeah,
so similar to how it is now.
Correct.
It's not changing.
Correct.
You still need to have that
it just
level
talks
of
to Azure now.
Connectivity to be able to go up to be able to
That's right. Target. That's right. So VMM System Center is actually a requirement there. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
And can you talk to the remote app one, or is that not your
Mean, I can talk a little bit to it, but I'll just mention it, and then we'll if you've got someone else to talk more detail. I mean, remote app's a really cool solution, right? Mm-hmm. It runs in Azure, and it ends up allowing you to run, I think they showed a bunch of the applications today. It allows you to run those applications on that local machine. Mm-hmm. But again, we scale automatically, and you kind of get the theme here in Azure, right, is sort of the scaling, the agility, the amount of scale and capacity that we have. It allows these types of solutions to make sense and work.
So where do they keep all the people?
Where do they get all these wonderful toys?
No, sorry. Where do they keep all the little people that run mm-hmm. around inside the data center mm-hmm. and like plug in the cables? Mm-hmm.
We don't call them people. the cool thing about Azure is because of the system that we built, it ends up actually being relatively maintained with a relatively small amount of people. Mm-hmm. Not little people, small amount of normal sized people or any size people. It's kind of uncomfortable. Anyway, so actually just a normal set of people, relatively small amount that we can manage this in our data centers. And so we have some folks on site, obviously, but there's not a lot of plugging going on. Right. The hardware's there, and we manage it all with the software-based solution.
We're on like the fourth or fifth generation type style.
That's
of things.
Right.
So literally, it's a back the truck up and then plug in the
yank
cooling,
it in. That's
plug
right.
in the networking.
Connect the water
the
or whatever, yeah.
That's
and I mean, the cool thing is because it is... because it is all software-based, like our network is all software-based, all the management is software-based that we built in Azure. So it's just fantastic. Yeah.
Very neat.
Yeah. We got a lot of questions now.
It's coming up now.
Okay,
Joshua Stein, will there ever be support for suspending a VM instead of having to shut it down?
Yeah, Joshua, it's a great question. I think it's good. We've heard this a little bit from customers around just sort of trying to save money. It's not currently something we're ready to announce, but it is something we hear pretty regularly. Yeah, so good question, and I'll definitely put it in the bank, as it were. Yeah.
And then
I get a tour of the
Redmond DC.
Well, it's your DC now, right?
I was about to say, it doesn't actually... It's not a real data center. It literally is like next to a moving company, and they use it for tours.
Next to a moving company.
No, it's like,
yeah.
Have you been to the Ridge?
Yeah.
The Ridge. It's just about 6 miles away from the
That's right.
campus. Something like
That's
that.
Right. That's right.
So I always.
So this is a roundabout way of saying no, Dusty.
Yeah,
you cannot.
You can't. They don't allow me in there because
that's
generally
true. I would let Dusty in before I let you in, though. To be honest.
I normally have this halo effect of damaging electronics equipment.
That's right.
As I walk in.
Just
Uber.
Your aura is actually a very negative influence on technology.
The hat is actually an insulator factor. To
that's
keep
right.
So I'm half sane.
That's right. It's like Magneto.
That could work.
We're good? Okay.
No, that could work.
The Magneto
like
helmet
that.
Protects him from
yes.
Dr. Professor Xavier.
I like
okay.
that. Now,
Woo!
Actually,
this just got warm in here. What is this, Comic-Con?
No,
what do we got here? Oh my God. Where are all the cool costumes?
Scott's got a big long question here. Not sure if you can answer this one here, but will more IaaS features show up in the Azure portal preview in the near future? So we announced the preview of the new portal coming up in build timeframe.
Yeah, got it.
And then right now
got
it's mostly around billing and around development.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I think look, the Azure portal preview is the
it's a preview.
Exactly. It's the preview and it's the future of the experience of the platform, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. It's we really believe in it. And so you can imagine just a lot of additional features and capabilities continuing to move themselves into the Azure portal preview over time. And so no specific announcements today, but it is something that we'll continue to see a lot of growth there.
I mean, I even just like how now when you go in and you sign with my account on the Azure page and it actually has
the little dots.
To manage it?
Oh.
Or do you want to have the
Yeah.
Something simple. It's very clear, distinct. Here's what you do on one.
That's right. That's right. Two paths. Which
red
road
pill
shall you
blue
take?
Pill.
That's right.
Which,
that's right.
Pill you
which
have?
One of those two is the red pill to you?
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Could Azure include OTP two-factor authentication like AWS for login into the portal? That's interesting. So basically, it's authenticating the portal into your account.
Yeah.
Again, it's
well. I'm not actually a strong authentication guy.
Yes.
Not strong. We do have two-factor authentication today to be able to log into the Azure portal, and you can use using Azure Active Directory, you can actually set up two-factor authentication for that.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of options there. Actually, one of the solutions uses that really cool technology, the phone factor technology, that allows sort of to like call your phone if you want to log in. And so it's great actually because it protects unwanted people from being able to access your account unexpectedly.
I'm shoulder surfing you on your laptop when you try to get in. Because I'm currently using the trial right now, and I'm almost out of credits. And my demos are taking place this afternoon.
That's right. So. I noticed the keylogger that you installed on my box, and I do not appreciate it.
It's a little small mouse.
Luckily, it's two-factor auth, so you can't use it anyway.
Darn it.
So, yeah, that's it.
Darn it.
That's it. So, anyway.
Will you enable access to Azure VM similar to the VM remote console so you can view and control the server thread or reboot or connectivity? They're specifically talking about inside of a hosting environment, being able to actually have access to the console. That's basically almost going down to the hypervisor layer.
And actually, you hit it right on the nose as to actually why we haven't offered this.
Right.
It's also a question that we have heard from customers. The complexity is around that host sort of boundary and the security models therein, right? So, you know, a lot of the security models in Azure are really focused on the virtual machine boundary. And unfortunately, the remote access outside of remote desktop ends up sort of breaking down that boundary. Mm-hmm. So it adds a lot of complexity there.
Yep. Yeah. Makes total sense.
So.
Makes total sense. I've had this problem with my networking.
Okay. I thought it was going to be like a medical thing. I'm not looking at anything on your body. That's not this kind of show. It's inappropriate, first of all. I'll say that. I'm not scared to say that it's inappropriate and I'm uncomfortable.
you mentioned with the virtual networking, being able to set up either a site-to-site VPN, either with a hardware device, with a software device.
Yeah.
Is it really that easy on the software side? I mean, I don't want to have to drop money to be able to go off my Cisco device
absolutely.
Or an F4.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, the point-to-site solution that we've got is actually really great. It's a great dev test solution. It allows you to take just a Windows box, and it connects using sort of the built-in solution that allows HTTPS connection, so just 443 out, right, and straight into the cloud, and can connect to your VPN device in the cloud, make everything look like an internal network, which is actually really great. And what we also announced today involving that internal network is upon that internal network, you can now do load balancing without ever leaving that network. So previously, and that's in preview. Yeah, that's in preview. But previously, it used to be you always had to go externally and do a public IP address to do the load balancing. We today, in preview, have announced an internal IP address that you can load balance. And so you can put your whole SharePoint farm on that internal IP address. It's going to be pretty powerful.
Okay, man. Mm-hmm. The hardest question for you right now.
Go back and repeat everything you just announced.
No.
Okay,
if you want to repeat everything you just announced so far, you can actually catch this one as a spliced up recording 24 hours after the show.
Oh, is that right?
But or maybe 48
hours. Show only my
good
side.
Depends. But my producer just looked up at me when I said 24. 24 to 48 hours after the show.
To 92.
You got it.
To 128. How many hours?
Obviously you work on the team, so
I do
know where all the new stuff is coming out.
Yeah.
Where does someone anywhere go to be able to find out where all the new stuff is? Because I'm having a hard time for all the new stuff that comes out, besides just magically seeing the portal change.
Yeah. So there's a few things. One of the things that we've actually recently kicked up is we do have a blog post that's dedicated to just compute features and networking features. So we actually recently kicked this off. We've been doing it for since build, actually. We've been doing about two or three blogs a week. They originally were on the Azure blog. Now they're moving over to sort of a dedicated blog post just for compute networking and so on.
Okay.
And so we're going to start pumping this information out through that more than you possibly could want. But we're going to pump both the information of what we announced, but then also how to use it.
Okay.
And then I will tweet about that content on a regular basis.
Your Twitter handle?
It's Corey Sanders Wah. Corey,
Wah?
Corey Sanders, Sanders, Wah.
Wah.
Which was short for Windows Azure.
Or Washington.
I guess now I have to change it.
Yeah. It works.
Yeah.
It works.
Ma.
Corey Sanders Ma.
It doesn't have the right ring.
I'm Rickster CDN for Canada. So that's why.
You're from Canada.
Canada, eh?
Okay.
You know,
now I understand why you were so offensive to so many people.
You know, you can't always blame Canada.
He does not speak for both of us.
You can't always blame Canada.
So,
my producer's telling me in my ear that we still have more time. We still have more time for some more questions.
Okay, more questions. Anything else here?
Although I don't know if you have more time because of that clock. My watch is off, so I don't have a watch on.
Am I just walking off stage?
No, don't walk off stage yet. I got to make sure that you still can get to your session.
Oh. Yeah, I'm good.
Still?
I can start that session late.
No,
you're more important than that session.
Oh, thanks, man.
And you are more important than that session.
I like that.
But no, I will leave very quickly.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
That's right. Yeah,
good.
That's right. Yeah.
Closing thoughts for this, this crazy multi-directional.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we talked about so many things, and there are so many features. It's sort of hard to put it all together. I think, you know, the biggest thing that I'd probably say, the way that Brad sort of described it is the way we sort of think about it with the hyperscale, the hybrid, right, and the enterprise grade. And the hybrid's got a ton of stuff we talked about, the virtual network to virtual network, the being able to connect with ExpressRoute, right, all sorts of great solutions there that are going to make, you know, really using the cloud less of just a pipe to your on-premise, but a full experience. That's a pretty good one. And then, of course, the enterprise grade. We talked a little bit about just the site recovery and the DR solutions and the antivirus, the anti-malware solution, just to make it sort of secure by default and secure on first boot. So it's really great. Like, I think that people are going to really like what we've offered. I hope, since we're doing it based on what we hear from customers.
Right.
And I'm excited by the next 12 months, right? I think it's just like so many more things that are in the pipeline.
I'm excited about the next 6 weeks.
That's right. Yeah, we will. Yeah, exactly.
We had one last question. I don't know if it's going to be able to answer or not, but basically, can you attach local peripherals to the Azure VM, printers, scanners, and such?
No. I mean, I think the only connectivity that you can do something like this would be
through the RDP.
Yeah. So you can do some things there. But
like a smart card read through that happens when I log on.
Exactly. You can do some interesting things.
Exactly.
So you can do some interesting things using the RDP connection. But otherwise, yeah. So, cool. You didn't ask me about my gardening. I heard you were going to ask me about my gardening.
That's actually my closing question. What do you do when you're not doing Azure stuff?
That's right.
Because you have a bundle of chaotic energy.
And I've been waiting because I've had so much energy for like 3 years. Finally, I got on this
you
show.
You kicked it off, man.
I finally was welcome. I've been asking.
You got it for channel.
Finally.
What do you do when you're not doing
Sorry,
Azure
outside
stuff,
of the
man?
Show. Okay. Actually, gardening. I do enjoy some gardening. Yeah, I love flowers. Not like sage or parsley, none of that stuff. Thyme, rosemary, none of that. But the flowers, I love the tulips. I love the lilies.
Do you use...
people call me a lily of Azure.
Do you use liquid pesticides, or are you a hand pull for weeds?
Oh, hand pull.
Hand pull?
Oh, hand pull. That's where it comes out.
That's the love?
That's the love. You got to get in
there. Do you have
any
opinions on window gardens?
I mean, they're all right.
Have you seen window... Like,
yeah, like they're like embedded in the windows.
They're like suspended. They have water pumps that pump the water solution to the top.
We have one of these on campus actually. Yeah. We have like the wall garden. Yeah, they're all right. They're all right.
You don't have one though.
No, I do not.
I've been thinking about getting one for my wife.
No. Okay.
Because we're really bad at keeping things alive.
I see. And this will help. I don't know. We'll see.
Anyway, thank you so much for being the kickoff
absolutely,
guest.
Absolutely.
Channel 9 Live.
I got to mention Magneto, so that's a win for everybody, I
definitely,
think.
Definitely.
So, all right.
And we're going to kick it back over to the next session. Next interview, actually, coming up
right after this.
So we're going to go to the slate. And Wally Mead's coming up with Mr. Simon May. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks a lot, man. This was a blast.
Anytime.
And thank you.